tells us that you are for us. You're always for us. We can never be separated from your love. You'll be faithful to the end and beyond. And Lord, we're here to just praise you and thank you again for that love that is so passionate for us and that pursues us. And Lord, we just again thank you for this time that you've given. And Lord, for every life that's here, every life that's listening today, ones that might hear this time and this message, Lord, just make it for your glory. Let us lift you up and magnify you. And we do that by receiving this unconditional, freely given, all grace of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I do want to say thank you again to everyone that attended, especially to all of the counselors, as we saw, and the teachers. Appreciate, you know, all the crafts and those ones that prepared those things. Want to thank the Lord for Joe and Chrisette and all the time of the recordings and getting the messages out so people can hear them. And then especially, too, to Brother Bob Baker. And I know, as he'll tell you, he's the one that benefits the most. And you find that as you go on with the Lord. It's a treasure when the Lord just takes your life. It says in the Word of God that he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And oh, what a life to find in Jesus Christ. And that's kind of where we're at today. And I was led by the Lord back to a verse that it changed my life. I mean, it changed everything. And you find it in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. And I really can't read this verse without getting emotional because of how much it changed my life, what it did for my life, and to understand who is my life and the value of my life and what my life is for, what it means, and not just for this moment, but what it means for God with him for eternity. And you find this verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. And Brother Paul tells us, he says, now I say that the heir, that's the inheritor, that's the one that has been birthed into this family, in the family of God, and that's you as a child of God, that the heir of God, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So what this is getting at right off the bat is, you're born of God. You're an heir of God. It says, now are we the sons of God. All right? And you've been born into this, and not just born into a family. You've been born into a family with purpose and a specific purpose. And this is the beauty of what God is telling you for your life. And it's something that's very profound. It's something that is the treasure of everything in our lives. You were born to reign. And see, what the majority of Christianity will always tell you in life is you're going to hear serve and serve and be a servant and do and this and that. What it's telling you right here is if you want to just remain a servant, you missed everything that you were born of God for. You missed it. These words, you are born Lord of all. You find that one other time in the Word of God. You find that in Acts 10:36. It says that Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. We know that. He's very God of very God. But what he did on that cross was he gave you his very life, and he gave you his very life not to just live and have a happy time and just to be born again. He gave you his very life to share in every single way with him that there will ever be throughout eternity. And what he's telling you right off the get-go is you were born to reign with me. You were born to reign jointly together with me. You were born to be glorified together with me. Everything I just said there, we're going to hit in Scripture in just a minute. But this is life-changing. And Lord of all means all things. But yet here you are. And this is not just to young people. This is to every Christian. Because people get born again all through their lives. The sad part is most people get born again and they remain a baby throughout all their lives. The Bible tells us that a baby will be, when they start with milk. Amen? I appreciated Brother Joe Rogers. It's even like babies. They don't even know what milk is, but they drink it. They have to. They have to live and be alive. Most of God's precious people, they're born again, but they remain even infants. They don't realize what God has intended for them. In the Word of God, it tells you to grow up. It's the whole purpose of this Word, the whole purpose of a child of God. It's the whole purpose of you being born. Your parents want you to grow up. I'm looking at these young people. My goodness, I dedicate them as babies. It's glorious. Their parents came in and said, I want to dedicate my child to the Lord. And here they're growing up in Christ. But then they're growing up, going to college, finishing high school, achieving these great things, incredible jobs, all of these things. It's amazing. And that's what your parents wanted. They wanted you to have a fulfilled, full life. How much more so our God? And he tells you what a fulfilled life, not just here, but for eternity. But see, what you take here is what you receive and what you'll grow in eternity. See, your faith is only here. Your faith is authored and finished right here. What you will believe here is what you'll take into eternity. And I always appreciated what Brother Copley said. He said, well, as people would say, well, wait a second here. If I only took this much and somebody took this much, it seems like we'd be jealous of each other in heaven. No. Everyone's going to have a cup in heaven. And that cup's going to be full and it's going to be overflowing in heaven. So your cup's going to be full and overflowing in heaven, but it's just like the size of your cup. What do you want? Brother David said, oh, what can I render? What can I do for the Lord? He said, take of the cup of salvation and drink. Drink! And that's what we're doing. That's what we do when we come together is we drink of this cup. And we've got the enormity cup because we have Paul's gospel. And this is what Paul was writing and encouraged right off the bat. To young people, to old people. Your soul, by the grace of God, needs to grow up. And grow up fully. Now, I want you to understand this. So the heir is still a child. The heir is still learning and growing. Amen? Yes. The heir doesn't yet even fully yet understand everything that is theirs. But what does the Bible tell us? What is Paul telling us? But he is already Lord of all. Do you see that? Just like as a child, a little baby, you're born not to remain the baby. You understand that, right? You see a baby, the baby's to grow up to be an adult. To come to full age. Where do you think that concept, where do you think that life sprung from? God. What do you think he was trying to show us because he loves us so much in everything? God says, I reveal myself in nature. I reveal myself in families. Born again, it's to grow up and to grow up fully and even to jointly rule and reign with Jesus Christ. That's why he calls you from the very beginning, you're born Lord of all. The life of Christ, when the life of Christ came in you, he's no respecter of person. Every child of God is born the same way with the full sonship of Jesus Christ. You're fully righteous, you're fully holy, you're sanctified, you're justified, even glorified, the Word of God says. But will you grow in it? Will you grow in the knowledge of who you are? And why is it? It's all because of the birth of Christ. It's because we're of the family of God. It's because we have his inheritance. It's because of who we belong to. Now, I think you can relate to this. You all know who Elon Musk is. I think you've all heard of that name. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. He's a trillionaire today. A trillionaire. Now, what if you were his child? Huh? You were the heir. You inherit it all. He is your dad, okay? And he says, I want you to have it all. Now, really, this isn't a game. This is the truth. We're superimposing that this is your dad, you're the heir, and he says, I want you to have my $1 trillion. Would you value it? You get to have SpaceX. Huh? You get to have Tesla. You get to have whatever he has. Huh? Would you say, well, I want to know about this. I want all of it. If Dad says I can have it, I want all of it. Right? Or would you say, you know what, Dad, that's just too much. I just want to hang out here and I want to take out the trash. No, you just say, well, you're nuts. What are you doing? You're the inheritor. Oh, Dad, I'll just drive you. You get in the back and I'll be your chauffeur. I'll clean. I'll do linens. And Dad's just sitting there and saying, what's wrong with my son? What's wrong with my daughter? I gave you everything. I want you to have my inheritance. I want you to grow in my inheritance. This is why God gave you Jesus. This is why he went to that cross. This is in this word, honeys. You have it here. These precious teachers and all these things coming at you. This is yours. I don't care how young you are. It doesn't matter. Somebody's overlooked you. You're born of God. You're Lord of all. You're Lord of all. In Christ, you're Lord of all. Now, you need to grow up. We need to enjoy this, don't we? We need to know what our wealth is. But think of what the world tells you, young people, and let's understand this. You're trying to discover who you are. You hear that often. You got to find out who you are. And how are you going to find out your identity in the world? Well, achievements, huh? Popularity, your appearance, your success, your acceptance. And then I say, as my pastor used to say, and then what? How much popularity? And then what? Why do you think it ends so sadly for so many of these entertainers, so many of these wealthy people? They have it all. They're good looking. They're all of this. But then they're depressed. They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to all of this. Because money, fame, looks, all of that will never satisfy your soul. It's a hole that if you try to invest in it, it is a bottomless pit. Jesus bought you with his blood. You're not your own. Your life, praise be to God, is just like mine. It'll never sit right until you just surrender to the Lord. And that's the truth. And it's not by trying to be religious or trying to be good. It's just being you in Christ. In the Lord. He loves you just like you are. He loves you with all your mistakes. He loves you with all your problems. He loves you with your attitude. He loves you even in your defiance. Ask your parents, if they can do that, God can do it better. My mama's here and she's just smiling. She's a bad kid, but she never quit calling me her joy boy. There you go. Huh? What's wrong with that? But see, God tells us right off the bat who we are. Turn on over to Romans 8. This is rich. We've had a rich time. Let's stay in it. In Romans 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. That's who you are. Born again, you have one life now, and that is Christ that lives in you. So you're an heir of God. And so it goes on to say, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. That means right now. And then it says, and joint heirs. That's right now. It didn't say a future time. It says heirs and heirs of God. And moreover is really what that word is instead of and. It means, and moreover now, joint heirs with Christ. So it changed from an heir of God the Father to be a joint heir, a co-heir, an equal heir with Jesus Christ. Now, do you understand why he calls you Lord of all right from the beginning? Do you see what he's brought you into? Do you see what you've been born into? Amen, saints? As Brother Roderick said, you know, I seem to preach this over and over. Does it grow old or does it grow more exciting? Is it something that, oh, that brother, that's all he preaches on? God help you. What could even remotely be compared with the word of God that is being spoken to you about jointly ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ? That the love of Christ is so immense to your life that he wants to share as an equal with him in glory. That's what glorified together means. That's how low he brought himself to lift you up with him. And people that back off from that, they don't want that kind of mercy. They don't want that kind of grace. That sounds like too much. Let me tell you something. You can never understand, really, in a way, how much God is too much. He's made my heart to go on to discover how too much is, and it's blowing me away every single day. But he says here, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be, now we've got a future time, all of that was present, heirs and joint heirs now, and what we're hearing today, what's the word? Manifestation. Made manifest. Huh? The manifestation of the glory of God that shall be revealed in you. By the way, that's verse 19. It's there. Are they words on a page? Or is this your crown? Praise the Lord. Is there anything more? Or has he come out the gate, Lord of all, and given you everything of his? Did not the Father say? Did he not say through the Apostle Paul? With him, how could I not also freely give you all things? When he tells you you're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, what more could there ever be? Lord of all. Born that. And now, by the grace of God, the whole intent is now to grow up into the fullness of it. I want you to think about some young people in the Bible. These are young people. Marcus was mentioned in one of them last night. These young people were born and chosen to reign long before they ever understood. They were born and chosen to reign, to be kings, before they even ever understood about it. One of the greatest kings in the Bible that loved the Lord with all of his heart, soul, and might was a king named Josiah. Josiah became king at 8 years old. You can't even stay in the cabins at 8 years old, right? Don't you have to be 10? Huh? I don't know. So think of that. All these campers. This is the truth. This is fact, history, but more importantly, this is the word of God. Josiah was king of Israel at 8 years old. That's incredible, 8 years old. Do you think at 8 years old he understood everything about leading a nation? No. Do you think that maybe he had to still learn and grow and mature? Sure. But he was king. it was done. He went on to reign over Israel many, many more years. But he was just as much king at 8 as he was at 15, as he was at 25, and on and on and on. Do you understand that? See, what God has done is done. And it's there. And it's there for you. And then comes faith to believe it. Because without the Holy Ghost hitting your heart, again, as Brother Roderick was saying, you're just going to read it and it's going to be like, well, that sounds really interesting. Let me see if I can read the whole Bible in a year. Nothing wrong with that. But you need to know and believe and love what the Word of God is giving you. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. But see, this is what is so sweet. He was king because of who he was. It was because of the position that he was born into. The throne belonged to him. The throne belonged to him before he ever understood the throne. Did you hear that? Do you not understand what belongs to you before you even understood it? But if you don't understand it and come into the full knowledge of it, you're just going to remain a servant in the palace even though your dad gave it all to you. You're hearing this. I'm hearing this. There aren't many people that get to hear this. I wish everybody would hear this. Jesus gave his life for everybody to hear this. But are you hearing sounds? Or is your heart hearing this? Now, young people, Paul is teaching this. This is us. We may not understand all that God has prepared for us. We're still growing in it. Amen? By faith? How about adults? You still growing in it, or do you just know it all? Oh, I know that bridal message. Huh? You say that, you don't know it. Huh? Come on. You're still growing in faith of it. You're learning his word. But your inheritance is already yours. The Bible tells you your inheritance is already yours. Let's let the Bible tell us this. Turn on over to Ephesians. Just have a few more minutes here, honeys. You can do it. You're going to come out of here real happy. I know you've already been happy, but you're going to be really happy, and I can see it in your faces. The Lord makes the light go on in your heart. He really does. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Now listen to this. This is meaning in Christ. In Christ, it says in whom, that means in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. See, this isn't someday in the future. You've got it, Lord of all. You've got it, Lord of all. Being predestinated. Look at that. You got God predestinating your life. Amen. According to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. You like the will of God? Do you like the will of God? Well, I think you do. You wouldn't be here at camp if you didn't like the will of God. Who works the will of God in your life? I think I heard my sister say, it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, you can work in you your good pleasure, and you can think it's really good. Filthy rags. Because that's what it is. We want God's best. God's best is God doing it, not you. Because you can't do a thing. Because you've already been born into everything. All he wants you is to go learn about it. Enjoy it. Thank him for it. The privilege of being born again. The privilege, praise God. There's my brother nodding his head. We get it. We know. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you. Go on over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, he was a guy that was all full of himself. God was so faithful, he said, oh, I got to empty you of self, son. A lot of humility there. A lot of failure. And it all came because he was self-righteous. He's always trying to show God how good he was, how hard he worked, why he was better than the other guy, why he could look down at the other disciples and say, wow, I'm better than that guy. If that deals with your heart, I'm going to tell you something. It's okay. It's okay. And be sincere and honest before the Lord and pray. And pray, Lord, help me. Help me. That'll defeat your life. You want it to be all him. You want it to be all grace. You want it to be all mercy. And I'll tell you, he'll be faithful to do it. He'll bring these trials, and I'm hearing about them. I'm hearing about them in my precious young brothers and sisters. He's after you very intently right now because Jesus is coming. He's coming. Okay, 1 Peter, here we go. Verses chapter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Do you see that? It's mercy. Mercy is the exact extreme opposite of what you deserve. This is who God gives everything to. His vessels of mercy are clothed with the riches of his glory. Aren't you thankful for that? He's not asking you to clean up your life. He's just telling you, let me be the love of your life. Let me be the love of your life. I already washed you. You can't get any cleaner. You can't. You start falling in love with him. What happens is you quit worrying about all that nonsense that's attacking your life. It may still be there, but you know what? When you're in love, it doesn't matter what's around you. You really fall in love, and I'm even going to tell you, your friends might get mad at you. And it's hard to think about your friends sometimes when the first love is in your life and you're in love. Okay, now. So it says, by the abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. See, this hope is alive. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, he has risen. And soon, by the grace of God, I'm going to hear a trumpet blast and I'm going to be risen. That's my abounding hope, because he arose. Praise be to God, I have that life, and it's going to call me home. Now listen to this. And what am I going to arise to, and what do I have right now? To an inheritance. This is your inheritance. Now listen to this. It's incorruptible. It can't be corrupted. And then he says, and it's undefiled. Nothing can touch it. And then wait a second. And fadeth not away. It's permanent. And then listen to this. This is the best of all. It's reserved in heaven for you. Now, who reserved that? Did you reserve that? God reserved that. God reserved that. God made a reservation. I like to eat out. There's a restaurant I love to go to. I won't advertise it, but it's Italian and it's in Steamboat. And I got a table I love. And I got to have that table. And I reserve that table on that day at that time. And I want that table. And I tell them in that note, I want that table. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't give me that table, you don't want to be dealing with me. If I went that far to get that food, to pay that money, and to have that table, you don't want to be sitting at my table. And I'm just a man, and I'm talking about natural food. This is God, and he reserved in heaven for me, And I know in my heart that the reservation is for the Lord of all that's going to sit jointly in the reserved seated throne with him in glory. Okay. David was a teenager. They think about 13 years old. We got some 13-year-olds here. David was king of Israel, 13. 13. Yep. That's when he was king. David was anointed by Samuel. But David wasn't in a palace when he was anointed king. No, he wasn't. He wasn't leading armies. He wasn't sitting on a throne. You know what David was doing? He was tending sheep. So here you are, and you were even born into it, but now you're coming into the knowledge of it even right now today, because the word of God does not return void unto him. And I'm not just speaking to the young people. I believe by the grace of God, there's people listening right now, and there's people sitting out here right now that say, Lord, I think I finally get this. And it's okay. God's always on time. If you're looking at you, you'll never be on time. You're trying to get there, you'll never get there. He already placed you there. You wouldn't be hearing this if it wasn't intended for you. So David was made king at 13, but he was still tending sheep. You, by the grace of God, are coming into the knowledge of this, and you are going to seventh grade. Or you are playing soccer. What does it even matter what you're doing? God chose you. God called you. God circled you. This is how God does. This is how God always does. Now, David's older brothers look more qualified. They look stronger, but God chose a shepherd boy. The moment that Samuel poured that oil on David's head, he was king. But David was not set in a throne immediately. He wasn't. There was a period between the anointing and the reigning. Yes. There was a period between the promise and the fulfillment. That's the manifestation. That's what we're hearing. But David was still king, and his future had already been secured. You've been born Lord of all. Your future is secured. Will you believe? Elon Musk is your dad. Will you take the money? And that $1 trillion cannot even, and it's not worthy to be compared with the riches of glory that's waiting in Christ. I want you to understand this as we close. You've been chosen. You have. The Bible tells you that. That's done. You've been made heirs. You just read that. That's done. You've been adopted into the family of God. That is absolutely done. David was chosen for the throne before he ever grew into the throne. You get it? Chosen first, then grew into it. All right? Josiah was born into royalty before he even understood royalty. I love his understanding. That's why I say, I don't understand me, but the Lord does. Huh? See, God never waits for you to become perfect before he calls you. God never waits for you to understand everything before he gives you an inheritance. God never waits for you to grow up before he chooses you. Did you hear that? You don't grow up and then God chooses you. God chose you first. God chose you first. God called you first. God, praise be to God, he adopted you first. And then he spends your entire life loving you and preaching to you and teaching you, oh my goodness, who you really are. And who are you, Lord of all? How do I know that truly, by the grace of God, and I mean this, it's not to flatter you, this is just to praise the word of God. I'm preaching to kings today. The kings. You have been given the message, not of serving, but of reigning. By the grace of God, you know that your life is not, or nor any Christian, their life is not intended to wave a palm before the throne. They're your destiny. Everything that was bought with that blood of Jesus was to rule and reign jointly together with him. He wanted you to enjoy jointly everything with him. So right now, saints, you know what? We walk by faith. You walk by faith. We've heard a lot of this, right? We walk by faith, by believing something that we really can't physically see, we can't tangibly touch it. We don't understand and we don't really see everything fulfilled yet, but God promised it. But see what faith does, here's what faith does. It allows us to rejoice in future realities before they ever arrive. Those are the happy people. Those are the joyous people. The Bible talks about abounding in hope. And this is the hope that we heard. This isn't the hope of an if. This is the hope of when. When it will be. See, faith, this is a big one. Faith sees tomorrow today. Faith sees me reigning in eternity with Jesus, I'm telling you, right now. And gives me a vision of it more than I ever probably ever have at any moment than preaching this message of the glory of the Lord. Faith celebrates inheritance before receiving it. Faith rejoices in promises before seeing their fulfillment. And I'm going to tell you something. Very, 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 very soon, our faith is going to be made sight. Oh, yes. Everything we hope for, that fulfillment is going to be in its fullness. Oh, yes, it is. One day, we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. Face to face. We're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. And that day, listen to this. That day, every promise that you believed fulfilled. You'll never read anything else about those that received a reward or a promise of God that it wasn't received any other way but by believing. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. That precious woman, that wonderful word came to her and said to her, there will be a performance of those things that were spoken to you of the Lord. What was spoken to you today? How long does it take to receive something of the Lord? Does it have to be a lifetime? How long did it take you to receive salvation? Did you have to work on it? How quickly did it come? Immediately. Yes, Jesus in your heart and bam! Bam! You're a new creature. You're born again. You're born of God. You're a son of God. You're an heir of God. You're Lord of all. As thou hast believed. It hit you today. I know it did. It hit me again today. And I want it to keep hitting me, and it has to. It has to. The Bible says, giving the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. This is too rich. It's too good. You've got the full inheritance of God. And I'll tell you what, till then, we believe it all. We believe it all. And by the grace of God, you go deeper in it. And those that want to insult you and criticize your faith, amen. You be as David when he was dancing basically naked before the Lord. His wife, whom he loved very much, came out and said, "You're an embarrassment." That's not how kings act. Kings are stately. They're sober. They act righteous. I could see David glancing over. Let me tell you something, honey. If you think you're upset right now with me dancing naked, you haven't seen anything yet. I'd say a few more things to that, but it could be too graphic for the crowd. But I love you. More importantly, Jesus, man, he loves you. And young people, old people, middle people, all people that are hearing this, don't draw back. He's visiting right now. Honeys, it's right now. And all he wants you to do is just love him, just trust him. Just say, "Lord, I want to hear your word. I want to believe your word." And just like you've been hearing, and don't ever be discouraged. You'll never waste your time worshiping God. But you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost, sweeties. You do. Don't let it pass by. You don't need to be at camp. You don't even need to be at an altar. So many young people, different ones, just praying at home, even by themselves. Let him have it all. Amen? Amen. It's been a good camp. I thank the Lord for you. Wish we had more time. But the Lord knows what we need. And the pastor needs to go to sleep. And I know some other ones do too. But I don't like this kind of to end. But I think it's a lot in a way of beginning. And just more of it. If you're visiting, come. Continue to come. Those that have traveled a far way, thank you. We just appreciate you greatly. And, you know, get online. You know, some of these kids, your families don't come to church. That's okay. Pray for your moms and dads and different ones. But he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. And we're going to go ahead and sing a song. And as Brother Tim said, if you don't mind, if all can.